All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Today, I'm going to talk the treasure in earthen vessels. The treasure in earthen vessels. Just a simple thought today that I hope encourage you as an encouragement to me. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 1, you'll notice that the Word of God says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, nor walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Now, verse 7, you probably notice that's where I get the title of the message. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Our Heavenly Father, I just pray you open up this passage and make it real and live it in our hearts, and help us, those of us that have this treasure, help us to appreciate this treasure in a greater way. And to those that do not have this treasure, I pray that they be born again today. In Jesus' name we ask this all. Amen. All right, if we just look at the passage, what an amazing statement in verse number 7. "We have this treasure in earthen vessels." You know, the ministry of Christ, God places in a earthen vessel. You know, I've said it before, it's a miracle that the ministry of Christ is entrusted to people instead of angelic beings that could not have fault or failures or problems. But I mean, I am so happy in the reality of the gospel more than I ever have been in my life, because I really see it now as good news more than I ever have, when I really begin to see everything coming together and the magnitude of God placing this treasure in earthen vessels. It's just becoming clearer and clearer why God did it this way. But just going down to the passage, you've taken notes. First thing I want you to notice about the treasure in earthen vessels. Number one, the treasure is a ministry. The treasure is a ministry. Because in verse number 1, the Bible says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." So the treasure that God has placed in our earthen vessel, given to you and me, it's a ministry. You know, and ministry involves people and individuals. One of the things that Satan has been very successful in robbing God's people of is making us think that just simply attendance is a ministry. And the greatest ministry you and I will ever do will not be in the doors of church. The greatest ministry that you and I will do will be outside, sharing Christ, recognizing the needs of our neighbors, recognizing just a hungry soul that needs a word of encouragement, and being a blessing to someone, and trying to share Christ with someone that's just having a bad day, and just giving them hope in a dismal or desperate situation. And because everything that, you know, when you look at Christ, most of what we read about Jesus Christ did not take place in a temple. It took place as he walked amongst people on the road to go here and the road to go here. The multitudes as they gathered by on the hillside, and when he fed them. And this ministry, this treasure that God has given to us is ministry. Not just a ministry per se, because in church work we call a church a ministry, but the treasure that you and I have is ministry. The people whose lives that feel like I've impacted them the most are people that I've been able to spend time with and minister to them and speak to them And to talk with them about Christ, whether it be on the phone, whether it be in person, whether it be even in the day that we live in now, just text and messaging. And there's multitudes of people that I even speak to on a weekly basis just by messaging that I minister to. And this is a treasure that God has given, because I'm amazed that when I'm either talking on the phone to somebody and they're sharing with me a situation, that God will reveal something to me to tell them. I'm like, whoa, that's precious, because God spoke through me to give something to help that person. And so the treasure that God has placed in an earthen vessel, it is ministry. Number two, the treasure in earthen vessels is too valuable to faint with. The treasure in earthen vessels is too valuable to faint with. Now it says, therefore, seeing we have received this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. You know, this treasure, he says, we've given, that we've received based on the mercy of God, we faint not. And no, we didn't read all of it, but if you read the end of the chapter, we see that it wasn't because things went great. In verse 8 it says, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always, I mean always, all the time, bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. But this treasure, he said, it is so valuable, we just can't faint. This treasure that God has placed in his vessel, I just can't quit on this treasure that God has given me. I can't quit serving. I can't quit helping. I can't quit ministering. I cannot quit functioning in the treasure in light of what God, that I have received from God. You know, and it's based on, and it says here, as we have received mercy. You can't really appreciate the treasure if you don't really understand it's a gift of mercy. That's one of the things that has happened through religion, is that it gives us the platform for condemning people. And that platform, for if you condemn somebody, it's because you don't really realize you received mercy or you received grace. Because you begin to think, well, you know, I can't believe they act that way. Well, they act that way because of lack of input of Jesus Christ. And you know, the longer I read the Bible, you know what I find amazing? The more people I read about the Bible, you know what actually comes to my mind? What I just said, I can't believe they acted that way. Think about David. I mean, David was a man of God on his heart. I can't believe he acted that way. I mean, Abraham, he was a friend of God, and God told him to go out and to leave his country and his kindred, and he goes out in faith. And the first time he meets somebody, the guy asked somebody his wife. He said, "Man, that's my sister." I can't believe he acted that way. Moses, you know, he smote the rock and he saw all the miracles that God worked through. Saw all the miracles, and then they get out and begin to get tested a little bit, and he gets frustrated. And Elijah, he killed 450 prophets of Baal by himself. He prayed that it might not rain, and for 3 years it didn't rain. And then he prays again, and it does rain. And then one threat by Jezebel, and he runs and hides in the cave. I can't believe he acted that way. But you know what we see is God has a ministry for individuals, not based on their perfect track record, but based on his grace and his mercy. Every person, if you look, study every person in the Bible, except with Jesus Christ, you will see the ministry they did was a ministry they received of mercy. And because it was a treasure that they had in the earthen vessels, man, we just can't quit on it. We can't faint. The treasure that God has given you and I to minister is too valuable to faint with. Number three, the treasure in earthen vessels is so powerful that it does not need fleshly assistance. The treasure in earthen vessels is so powerful that it does not need fleshly assistance. Verse number 2, it says, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, nor walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Now, he's talking about his ministry here. He said, we don't have to handle this craftily. We don't have to have some new sneaky or crazy presentation. I remember hearing a story one time. Chris Douglas, a friend of mine that I went to Bible college with, and we went to the same Bible college, but I don't think we're in at the same time. He came to church with us for a while, and he was out soul winning with a friend of his, and they were witnessing the people beside a rock concert. And the guy he was with, he had a bunch of gospel tracts. He stuck them there. He said, "Free tickets! Free tickets!" And everybody started flooding over to get free tickets. And then he said, "Free tickets to heaven." But guess what? That didn't go over well. It was a crafty way. It seemed like a good idea. He got their attention, but he basically made a whole lot of people mad. And the Word of God, this ministry we've received, we don't have to be crafty. We don't have to deceitfully try to trick people in to hearing the message of God, because this treasure, it really is a treasure. And the way we handle this treasure shows the value that it has to people, you know. And this, it says, we renounce hidden things of dishonesty, nor walking in craftiness, nor handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. One of the things about the way God has led me to minister, which I really believe is for every person, I try to minister in such a way that I commend myself to people in the sight of God. I commend myself to every man's conscience in the sight of God. I commend myself to you to examine me, to correct me, even to reprove me, to see if I'm really trying to live what the Bible says based on the treasure that He's given me. And the great thing about the treasure that He's given me is that because everything I have is a gift of God, when I really embrace that treasure, there's nothing, if I am rebuked or reproved, there's nothing left anymore that I really want to hold on to. I don't have an agenda anymore, and I thank God for that. Now there are times I'm selfish, just like everybody, well, like a lot of people, I don't want to say everybody else is, but like people are sometimes. But when I really embrace the ministry that God has given me, that when I do commend myself to people's conscience, if they share something with me, they say, "Well, yep, Pastor Harper, you're not in line here," or Reiner, or whoever, depending on the case, whoever called me, or Papa, you know, whatever the situation may be. I said, "Well, you're right about that." You know, and then because my goal is to manifest this treasure, not deceitfully, and not to have a lifestyle that's just for me and a lifestyle that's just for somebody else, but to commend myself to every man's conscience in the sight of God, saying that, wait, Jesus is the Lord of my life. He is, the life that He's given me is a life of ministry. And the life He's given every child of God is a life of ministry. And that's what keeps people. Ministry is what keeps you crying out to God for faith and for help. Because, you know, we really don't need God, per se, to get to a church service, do we? Because, I mean, you can get to work. I mean, I understand if God didn't keep our brain going, we'd drop dead. You understand? I understand things like that. But just to get to a church service, or to even be a faithful attendee, we really don't need any spiritual assistance for that, because there are religions all over the world that have no faith in God or Jesus that faithfully attend, that faithfully give money, and faithfully adhere to a body of rules. But when you begin to minister and try to share Christ with someone, when you're looking for birth to take place. One thing, you know, the Lord has blessed my wife and I with six children, as you know. but you know what the amazing thing is? For a while, because we so easily seem to have children, it didn't seem like it was a miracle. Until longer I began to meet people that it just doesn't happen that birth takes place. In fact, I've learned of more stories of mothers even having to carry a child to the end and the child is not born. Birth is a miracle that's done by the hand of God. And so is new birth, being born again, salvation through Jesus Christ. That's a miracle. And that's something that you just can't make happen. You know, procreation is not within our hands. And the ministry of Christ, even for a person to understand the truth of the Bible, That's something you need the help of God to do. I mean, there's times that I've begged people and I've pleaded with people regarding the truth of the Scriptures, and you can just see a blank stare, like they hear what I'm saying, but there's no life to what I just said. And that takes me to my knees. Say, Lord, what's missing? Why don't they get it? Why don't they understand? Why won't they trust you? See, ministry is what takes you on your face because you say, Lord, help, please. They need you. They need to know you. There's no birth without you. Father, please. And the ministry, again, is so powerful that we don't want to be crafty. We just want to manifest the truth. And the ministry is so valuable that as we manifest the truth, we'd be willing to say, you know what? I commend myself to you as a representative of the truth. Number four, the treasure in earthen vessels is a treasure that creates an awareness of the earth's darkness. The treasure in earthen vessels is a treasure that creates an awareness of the earth's darkness. Because it said in verse number 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. You know, you don't really know what darkness is unless you have some light. And you don't really recognize the treasure God has given. You don't really recognize the darkness all around you and how bad the world is until God gives you a treasure. You know, I didn't realize how bad the world shaped the world was until I was born again. Because it's not, I mean, to me, when I was a young person without Christ, I thought mission was just going to give people food somewhere and helping people get a better way of living. But that's the least of it. That's part of it now. We do need to feed the hungry and need to look out for our neighbors and bless those. And in fact, the Bible says that he that stoppeth his ear at the cry of the poor, God won't be merciful unto them, you know. So I was sharing this, I was talking to Micah the other day. I read that verse. I said, this is why I continue to help this person, because I don't want to stop my ears at the cry of the poor, you know, because you never know, you know, and because poor in spirit, poor in resources, and we have to be careful, you know, but you know, if you receive this treasure that you have, you think, wow, people don't have that treasure. I was thinking about just the person I mentioned that I shared Christ with this morning. I thought, man, I've got a treasure he doesn't have. The attendants behind the counter that I talked with, and the thing, you listen to people in a conversation, the treasure that I have, and I think, wow, how empty, how shallow. See, I used to think just how bad or how wicked. Now, that is part of it, too, because the Scripture already says the whole world lies in wickedness, so that shouldn't shock us. And like I said a few weeks ago, Jesus knew that, and that's exactly what he came to rescue. So he came to rescue the world in wickedness. I mean, that's a green light that you're needed here, you know. It's funny how we receive things the wrong way, you know. It's like I've probably said it before, but my sons and I, if we go play basketball, and we walk in the gym, and it looks like there's no competition there, They don't want to put their clothes on. You know? They don't want to put their shoes on but if they go in and they go, well, there's a couple of 6'8" guys or 6'9" and somebody looks like they can move, and so they're like, yeah, this is what we're here for. But imagine if we saw the world like that. If we could just really realize that, yes, the world lies in wickedness, but you know what? You know what? The world is poverty stricken. And I've got a treasure that can heal the poverty of the world. It says here, verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the mind of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is image of God, should shine unto them. Now, I was thinking, some reason I read this passage, I was thinking about Satan. One of the things that really is an atrocity in every country, although it is allowed more in countries, is human trafficking. Basically taking people into bondage for either for labor or other ungodly uses of their body. And I was thinking, you know, Satan is a human trafficker because he puts people in bondage. And you know what happens with some people that are humanly trafficked? But the people that even enslaved them, after a period of time, they actually are convinced that the person that has put them in slavery is looking out for their best interests. You know, and that's what Satan does to people. He enslaves people for his labor purposes. And he enslaves people for their bodies to be used for his advantage. And you know what? Many people that are enslaved get blinded. And just like Satan does, you know, Satan does to people. And the treasure that we have makes us aware, you know what? That person has been blinded by the God of this present world. You know, and when you really have the right perspective about the treasure in this earthen vessel, it allows you to see people differently. I mean, it allows you to see it. That's where the ability to bless those that curses you come from, because you're able to see, wow, they're blind. They don't have any idea what they're doing. God have mercy upon them. And the greatest thing of all, when you have that, well, I don't know if the greatest, but the treasure of creation awareness, yeah, I was just like that. And guess what? Sometimes I get blinded and I still act like that. I still find myself thinking wrong and acting in ways that are not consistent with the person of Jesus Christ. And, you know, I was sharing my wife this morning and I'm amazed at how there's so much bitterness and condemnation just in churches today. How people just condemn one another and just have, I just don't get it, but I do at the same time. Hold your place here in Corinthians and turn to Jonah, chapter number 4. We talked about him earlier. Jonah's right after Hosea. If you find Daniel and start going to the right a little bit, if you have an electronic device, you just put in Jonah. But in Jonah chapter 4, now you know the story of Jonah. God called Jonah to go to Nineveh and to preach against the city, and because to let them know that God was going to destroy them because of the wicked sin. And initially, Jonah ran from the Lord. He didn't want to go, and he didn't want to try to reach those people. And you know, and funny, you know, I like reading the Bible because it's kind of like it's number one, it's the Word of God. But when the first time I read through the book of Jonah, I just kind of felt like, till I got to the end, that Jonah was just afraid to go talk to these wicked people. Or maybe that Jonah was just afraid because just to preach. But then you read the end of the story, you realize Jonah tells us exactly why he doesn't want to. Because he preaches in Nineveh. And notice verse 10, it says, God saw their works. I'm looking at chapter 3, verse 10, before we read chapter 4. And God saw their works, so they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said he would do unto them, and he did it not. So God didn't destroy Nineveh after all. God rescued the city, as we said earlier, through the preaching of Jonah. Now, notice this here. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. Now, because we didn't catch this part of the conversation, if you read the whole book of Jonah in the beginning. He said, Lord, this is what he was telling God in the first conversation. This is why he ran away from God. For I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentance of evil. And he said, so, I mean, when you think about this, now here's someone, he knows that God is the Lord. God's calling Jesus, and he said, the Lord, the very reason I would not do your will is because you're gracious, because you're merciful, because you're slow to anger, and you're of great kindness. He said, that's why I'm not going to serve the Lord. That's kind of amazing to think about that. But you know, that's what happens, you know. And you think about it, that's the kind of a lot of what happens to people that know God is the Lord, and they choose to stay in their own bitterness. Well, I'm not going to do what you want because I know you're gracious, and you're going to want me to treat that person in a gracious way. Lord, I know you're merciful, and I'm not going to serve you because you're going to want me to treat that person in a merciful way. Lord, I'm not going to serve you because you're slow to anger, and you're going to want me to have control of my temper. You're not going to want me to fly off the handle of everything. And Lord, I just don't like being kind. Lord, you're a great kindness, so I'm not going to serve you because you want me to be kind to people. And that's who you are. But you know, the treasure that we have creates this awareness of God. And you think, wow, this is what it is to be like God. To be gracious. That means to treat somebody better than they deserve. To be merciful. That means to release somebody from an offense that they've done when they're stone cold guilty. That means to be slow to anger, considering yourself that you also be tempted. That means of great kindness. And that's any and every situation. Just be kind. And if you ever get bent toward vengeance, have turn. Vengeance belongs to God. Turn from the evil. But here it is, Jonah, and then in verse 3, now therefore, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to live. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. Isn't it amazing? I mean, I want you to see the loving nature of God here. Now, here's Jonah. He grudgingly obeyed the Lord, and God rescued the city. And he said, basically, Lord, I knew this would happen. God, I didn't want to do your will because I know how good you are. Am I right about it? That's what he says, right? And here's loving God the Father. Jonah's sitting under in the heat, and God prepares a gourd to rescue Jonah from the grief that he's in over being mad at him over being so good. That's what they do in those cartoons. Didn't that make you scratch your head? That's how gracious God is. God is going, because Jonah's grieved because his heart is not right with God. He's mad that God has been good to somebody, that he wanted to be condemned, that he wanted someone to basically face the wrath of God. And God just prepares a gourd, and Jonah's so grieved. You know what it is? Because God is treasure himself. And God says, I feel bad for Jonah. I'm going to comfort Jonah. As bitter as he is, as everything, I'm just going to comfort him. You know, the Bible says comfort the feeble-minded. I've probably shared before, that means weak-spirited. You know, I used to always think I looked it up one time. I used to think, maybe people that we would classify maybe some type of mental incapacity, but it means weak-spirited. Because, you know, when I'm weak in the spirit, I need comfort. I'm hard to be around when I'm weak in the spirit. And so the Bible says comfort the weak-spirited or the feeble-minded. And here it is. And God prepared it. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished in himself to die. And he said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, he's still trying to reach out to Jonah. Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death. Now this is hard. Jonah's talking to God. He said, Lord, I'm right to be mad. And I'm so mad, I want to be mad until I die. But here's God, he's still ministering to Jonah. Then said the Lord, thou hast pity on the gourd. Now when the gourd died, Jonah felt bad that the gourd died. Even though the gourd had been a comfort over his head, the God sent the help him in his grief over the heat, when that gourd shriveled up and died with the heat, Jonah felt bad for the gourd. He said, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein there are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle. God said, I don't even want to kill them. God said, their wickedness is even going to cause the cattle to die. He said, I don't even want to kill them. He said, is it not right that I spare the city? And he said, what does that have to do with the passage we're at? Well, the tread in earthen vessels creates an awareness that the God of this present world has blinded the eyes of them to see not. God had wanted to rescue Nineveh because these people can't discern their right hand. They're so blinded, they can't discern their right hand from their left. You know what God is trying to say? He said they're so blinded, they can't even discern right from wrong. That's what the treasure and earthen vessels create, an awareness of the darkness that's around us. And we see here, and that's why, reading verse 4 back in 2 Corinthians 4, in whom the God of this present and the God of this world has blinded the mind of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Last of all, this treasure in earthen vessels is the glory of God. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You know, when I read that story about Jonah now, you know what I see? I see the glory of God. You know what the glory of God is? His kindness and His grace and His mercy to lost, dying, bitter, angry, sinful, unforgiving people. Because that's what we all are. Because if you keep the whole law at one point, if you keep the whole law and yet offend at one point, you're guilty of all. And God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That mercy that God showed to Jonah and to Nineveh, man, I just see, man, that's the glory of God. Because who do you know? Who do you know that can minister like that? It should be the person in the mirror. Because that is the treasure in earthen vessels. That capacity, that ability to be able to minister life to those who are in darkness. See, that's something that nobody can do in and of themselves. That's why it's such a treasure. That's why it's a gift of God. That's why that manifestation is a fruit, a byproduct of walking in the Spirit. And even at times, God gives it as a gift. I think it allows people to manifest that even when they haven't been walking in the Spirit. But it is definitely shows forth the glory of God. For God, again, verse 6, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts. Man, if you're born again, it's a treasure that God shined in your heart, isn't it? That God opened your eyes to Him and you began to see Him. I mean, I thank God for not only saving me, but keeping me when I be in the midst of His salvation, became a very religious person and was missing out on His great glory of what it is to really be an obedient servant unto Him and being placed in situations so I could show forth His glory. And, you know, one of the first things that God said about Moses when God introduced Himself to Moses, He said, the Lord, gracious, merciful, forgiving thousands or something. And that's amazing that God would do that. You know, that's His character. And it says here, but we, see everything with this glory of God, this wonderful thing we've seen in Christ, this wonderful ministry we see through Christ, who loved a world that did not want Him. And God loved the world. He gave His Son for Him. This glory of God, this character of Jesus that we see in the lives of Stephen, we see in Joseph even, when his brothers sold him into slavery. He said, be not angry with yourselves. He said, God did send me before you to preserve life. The glory of God, it was in Joseph's life, because Joseph was sent into the will of God by those that were jealous and angry of him. They wanted him dead even. Well, one of them, they kind of felt a little bad about it. They didn't want him killed, but they wanted him out of their life. And the glory of God we see through the life of Joseph, and because God put that treasure in an earthen vessel. Stephen, as they take his last breath, we see the treasure in his earthen vessel. He said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. The glory of God. And the reason, again, God places this treasure, because in an earthen vessel, a vessel that has the same propensity and capacity and ability to be just like every other person without Christ under the sun, He puts it in an earthen vessel. So when that is manifested, people say, you know what, that's not human. It's tragic, all of the new ways and murders that we see taking place in our society. But you know what, one kind of amazing thing, there was this new murderer. I won't even say what kind it is, because I don't want to do a murder, but it was publicly known about this way this person killed somebody. And you know what, and more of these murders are becoming public. But you know what the amazing thing I'm hearing in different of these stories? People coming out and saying, I forgive that person. And I want that person to know Christ. And when this last murder that I know about, there's probably many more I don't know about, it publicly hit when they were trying to get the person, we want to know that we forgive you and we want you to have help. You know what that is? You know what that person that did that? They have a treasure in an earthen vessel. You know, the greatest power, or one of the greatest, because any given time you can say the greatest, right? I believe, because there's no biblical verse for this. I believe one of the greatest powers that you can manifest in your life that shows forth the gift of God is forgiveness. Because, you know, really, that's something we really can't do in and of ourselves. Now, I know people that allow themselves to be taken advantage of, and they just kind of let it go. Some people, because they have so little self-esteem, and that they just don't feel like they're worthy of anything. That's different. But I'm talking about when you know you've been violated and there's something within you and you recognize, because you have a treasure in you from God, that you can say, you know what, I can let it go because you have not hurt this eternal person that God made. That's powerful. And when you can minister grace to someone, and when you can bless them that curse you, and when you can pray for someone that despitefully uses you, and you know it's not you. Because you know what? Guess what? Nobody knows your earthen vessel like you do. And you know what? When God works something in your earthen vessel that is totally like Him, you will glorify Him. And the praise comes up because you think, whoa, that's amazing. I don't understand why I'm not thinking the way I normally think about this situation. Because, Lord, you know me. You know the way. Lord, you know the way. You know how I used to act, right? And my heart still be filled with all kind of crazy stuff. I mean, that's why it's a treasure in an earthen vessel. Because when you are with God, you know what really happened on the inside. And it just bursts forth. And you know what? You say, wow, that's the way God is. That's the way my Father is. And then as you begin to minister, you see that God put that treasure in earthen vessels so people can recognize that the stuff we read, like about God and Jonah and all the other great symbols of forgiveness and even the gospel message itself, that's not the life that human people live. You know why marriages don't stay together? The Bible said because of the hardness of your hearts. And so marriage is one of those things that show forth the treasure. People are afraid to get married because they're afraid they might have to be forgiven. In fact, people are on this endless search for this perfect person that will never harm them, never hurt them, never do anything wrong. And that's what some people never get married. Instead of saying, well, God, is this the one that you want me to give my life to? And then you can show for that treasure that you have in an earthen vessel, which is not the spouse, by the way, it's Christ. And then guess what? Your life began to be an instrument for the glory of God in your very own home. Your spouse can see it. Hopefully. Your children can see it. And they see the glory of God. And God puts that treasure in earthen vessels because He knows that is the best backdrop that the light of Christ can be seen. Because by nature, you know, it's numero uno. It's all about me. It's for me. And it's all about my feelings. It's all about how I feel. And you hurt me, and you're not going to hurt me again. And or the other side, the sad side, I hurt you, and you need to get over it. Both are wicked. And both are not the treasure that God has given. You know, God is a great, loving, merciful God. And if you're born again today, I hope you think about the treasure that you have. You have a treasure of salvation because of God manifesting His glory and showing a character that's not within human beings, which is grace, forgiveness, and mercy toward people that have offended you and are basically not sorry about it. And thank God for that. There's nobody. The Bible says there's none understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. Nobody's born looking at, hey, God, I messed up my life. I want to find you. Get this thing straight now. Nobody's born like that. I wasn't born like that. I was born trying to get everything out of this world I can. I was born in it for me. I mean, I was born to make sure that Reiner Harper got all the glory he possibly could get. And even after salvation, I still struggle with it sometimes. But the great news is that God continually places me in situations so I can surrender this earthly glory or my pursuit of it. And even when I'm not willing to humble myself, He loves me so much that He humbles me so I can actually see Him in a greater way, so I can be a greater use and blessing to people. Thank God for that. The treasure in earthen vessels, and I'll just say this in closing, it really is a treasure. Father, I thank you for the Lord Jesus.